You got your Bibles open to Nehemiah 6. Nehemiah 6. I want you to look at verse 15. That doesn't mean you get out of review, but look at verse 19. What did I say, 15? I can't remember. My bifocal shifted on me. Nehemiah 6, verse 15. We'll give everybody a chance to get there. Getting started, remember, just go to the middle. And if you're in Psalms, then you go back to the left. You'll find it. Give everybody a chance to get there. All right, we got it? Number 6, verse 15. I want several of our men to read this out loud. I'm going to call on you. I want you to read it out loud. And I just want that first phrase. Don't worry about the month. Don't worry about the days of the month. I just want that first phrase. It's about the first five words. Aaron, start us off.
So the wall was completed.
Bart.
Same thing.
Say it again.
So the wall was
Leland. John. John. No. I like that. Johnny. Oh, we got a John. Oh, yeah, we got third John here.
The wall was finished.
The wall was finished. Andrew.
The wall was completed.
Amen. Owen.
The wall was completed.
The wall was completed.
Bob.
The wall was completed.
Philip.
The wall was completed.
Lynn. Now, I'd make all of you do it, but I'm too excited. I got to say it. The wall was completed, y'all. What do you think old Nehemiah thought that day? Think about it now. He gave up his normal life, took on a task bigger than himself, dealt with a bunch of not so good, nice people, overcame all of the objections and all of the threats and all of that, and the wall was completed. You tell me, what do you think was his response? What do you think was his heart? What do you think was his... What's his mind? Woo-hoo! I guarantee you, Nehemiah did not say woo-hoo, okay? It was Hebrew because it had been backwards. Hoo-woo. All right.
I think that one of the thoughts that nobody, all of this right here, that nobody died. I mean, you know, I haven't seen anywhere in there where anybody died.
Yeah.
The wall.
They built that wall, had a perfect safety record. The wall was completed. How'd they feel? Oh, and it's great. Isn't this amazing? Thank you, God. And there's all kinds of things there. But how did that happen? How did it come to be? Now, I told you this, there was review first. So how does it happen? How does a man go from being a butler? How does a man go from being a butler to building the wall of the city of God? How does a man go from being a salesman to building the city of God? How does a man go from being a landscaper to building the city of God? How does a man go from being a teacher or a pharmacist or a janitor or a preacher and build the city of God? How do you go from being a banker, a masseuse?
God is on your side.
God is on your side.
So you start with a prayer.
There you go. You start with a prayer. And it's a prayer that it honors God and humbles yourself. You do not have to think. You don't have to thump your chest. Look what we did. No, we did nothing except show up. We showed up and kept showing up and kept showing up. But God was listening and He started this good work. All right, what's the next thing He did? How does Nehemiah go from cupbearer, butler, to wall builder, to city builder? He enlisted himself in his own army. He enlisted himself. Exactly. He enlisted himself. He said, all right, I want the wall of Jerusalem rebuilt. Somebody needs to go do that. He didn't do it. But we've done it. I've sat in church all my life, and we've done it in church. We need this. We need that. Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? And we look around to see who else is, who's going to do it. We going to build the wall. He's going to build the wall. We're going to build. You've got to enlist yourself as a part of that crew that's going to do it. Number three, you set a time. Now Nehemiah's time was connected to a king. So he couldn't set a date and say, okay, now by the third Sunday of September, I'm going to have this done. No, he couldn't do that. He couldn't say by the 1st of March. When Dennis and Lynn and Kelly and them were plotting against us, or against you, when they were plotting, they didn't have a date. They had to wait until things were ready. But when you, what you do is you set a time. When you're ready, you will set a time. And when you set a time, you do it. What's next? You examine what needs to be done. Now, in Nehemiah's case, he was so far away, he didn't know what damage. So he had to go and look. And honest, real honest, just talk about our building, the building of this place, the building of this fellowship, the building of this church. Did we have any idea? Somebody asked me, did I have any idea that it would ever be what it is today and become what it is becoming? I wasn't going to go. I mean, I was going to go. I was going to attend. I was going to sit about where Leland is. No, I'd have been over here closer to the restroom. Did you have any, honest, did anybody have it? Did you have any idea? Did you have any idea? Anybody in here have any idea? When y'all came here, John and Candy, did y'all have any idea what was going on here? You got to examine what's wrong. You got to examine what's wrong. I don't know how to answer or talk about that. You pray, you enlist yourself, you set a time, you examine the damage, and then what do? There you go, man. Y'all are much smarter than that second group. You build a crew. You find some people. Now, we're going to shift here in a minute, and we've got to talk about that because you know how God did this? Now, and God did this, but you know how God did it? One person at a time with people. He has always worked through people. How did He get... Let's take some big scopes. How did He get Israel out of Egypt? He used Moses. Now, were there some other folks helping Moses? Every great work God has ever done, He has used people, except for creation. He handled that one on himself, by Himself. But from that moment until Jesus comes, He's going to do it through people. What kind of people? Willing people. Sometimes He uses folks that aren't too willing, but He loves to work with those willing, right? He loves to work with those willing. They're not all like me. All right. Sometimes He has to use folks like me, but He loves to use willing people. Now, you build a crew. You find some people that can help. Find some people that can help. Next, go to work. I've said it before, I will say it again. I say it to the men every once in a while and I forget to say it to you ladies. There are days that I want to apologize to y'all. When y'all came here, you didn't think. I mean, you, like me, had gone to church. Many of you had gone to church all your life and church was boring. It was a spectator sport. You walked in, the building is open. The temperature is set. The communion is fixed. The carpet is clean. And you sat down and you watched and you evaluated it and you liked it or didn't like it. And then you went home, ate lunch, took a nap, and that was it. What happened when you showed up here? Not that you had to go to work. I mean, where else? I mean, church is over. All right, we've got to put up all the chairs. We've got to vacuum the carpet. We've got to take out the trash. So, we don't have anybody that does that except us. You got to go to work. And sometimes while somebody's taking out trash, somebody else has got somebody cornered over here helping them, loving them, teaching them, listening to them. So we got all kinds of work to do. But you got to do, you got to go to work. Next one. Ignore anybody and everybody who distracts you from the job that you were given by God to do. Folks, that's how you build a wall. That's how you build a city. That's how you build a church. And for 9 years, we've been trying to build a church to God's glory and to help people. What have we had to ignore? What have we had to ignore? Now, we're working the thing backwards now, so get ready. What have we had to ignore? What have we had to... I know what Nehemiah did. We've rehearsed that. We've reviewed that. I'm talking about what have we had to ignore. All right, now I'm going to hang on to this one last because that's the biggest one. Do you remember when we, y'all don't remember, some of you don't remember. I can remember when Lacey and the kids got here. It was like prime, we didn't have any children. Rachel was our child. Rachel was the child. And she had a Bible class teacher, my mom, and they'd go off and do whatever they did. That could explain a lot of things, you know. I mean, but then all of a sudden, we got these three. And it was like priming the pump, man, planting seeds. They started sprouting. It's like putting water on a gremlin. They would just pop, 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 pop. We had kids popping out everywhere. And folks, we did not have, and that's not calling you kids gremlins. Y'all are not gremlins. Y'all are precious and I love you. But did we have, and I love people would come in here and say, well, what is your Bible class? Are you kidding? We don't have any Bible class teacher. Well, we had one, Lacey and my mom. But my mom had her class already. So all of a sudden we had all these kids. What do you do? Well, we need a Bible class program. No, what we need is we need to give people a chance to grow, heal and rest and heal and grow until they're ready to serve. Now what happens on a Wednesday night? Lots of little children. And we've got lots of Bible class. Now, do we have enough? Never. Do we have enough kids? We'll start an argument in the church. No, but we've got kids now that are being taught the Word of God and they're singing their songs to their parents and they're giving them the Bible. In fact, a parent came to me yesterday and said, would you teach me the Bible study songs because my daughter's learning those and I want to have... And that's good stuff. That's good stuff. But you have to ignore those kind of things. Give me another one. You remember how scary that night was? Boy, they wanted us to move over there with them because what we were doing and they were doing, they thought matched. We decided to hang on here. What? And we decided, let's stay here. Let's stay on focus. Let's stay doing what God gave us the opportunity to do, and let's keep doing it. What do you have to ignore? You do have to ignore distractions. And I'm not saying that was a bad one. There's nothing evil intended there. It was just a difference in the way we looked at things and the way we tried to minister. What else do we have to ignore? I'll do this one because I heard it right up here. The voice in our own heads is what we had to stop listening to. And I'm going to hold my hand up first. And I still battle that one. I still battle that one. But you've got to ignore the voice that's in your head that tells you what. And I want to hear, this is not theory, this is not Sunday school. Personal, specific, what does the voice in your head tell you? I'm too tired. It's too much. I'm too messed up. It's okay. What's the voice in your head tell you?
It's too hard.
What's the voice inside your head tell you? I don't want to. What's the voice inside your head tell you? I can't do it. Because look at my past. Look at what I did. Look at how people look at me. I can't do that.
Well, what do I do next?
What do I do next? What difference does it make? What are we going to do when it gets bigger?
I need a bigger car.
You're going to need a bigger car. We need to buy John and Candy a van so they can bring... They've got 12 people in a car, a four-passenger car. That is not right. And then we got to buy a page of pickup to cover all the groceries that come in on Wednesday night. She said the chicken will not fit in her Volkswagen anymore. We want to help her out on that. I don't know about John and Candy, but we got to fix this car thing because we need that chicken. We'll put a trailer hitch. A trailer hitch. See, you got to have a team working on this thing. A trailer hitch on a bug. I'm all for that. You were going to say?
There's other people. Somebody else will do it.
All right, now, folks, that's how you build a wall. You've got to ignore that. We've talked about going to work. But look in chapter 7, and I want to show you that this is biblical. What we're doing this morning and what we're going to do now this morning is rooted in Bible. This is not what I think psychologically is the best for our church. No. It's what Nehemiah did. Once that wall was built, he started, look at this. After the wall had been rebuilt, I set the doors in place. And then he starts listing gatekeepers, singers, Levites. They were all appointed. And I put in charge of Jerusalem my brother Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most men do. I said to them, the gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the sun is hot. While the gatekeepers are still on duty, have them shut the doors and bar them. Also appoint residents of Jerusalem as guards, some at their posts, some near their own houses. What do I read here? What do I need to understand about what Nehemiah did after the job, the wall got finished, that I need to learn, that we need to learn about building the church now that we've got 9 years under our belt. And it's never complete. This wall is never completed. Because every time you add one more person, you're adding another brick to the wall. So we'll never get to the point where he said it's completed until Jesus says it's completed. But what do we learn in those three verses? Tell me what we learn. We need to protect it. We've got to protect it. Now, I'm going to let you do that for a second. What do we need to do to protect the work that God has done here? What do we need to do to protect this church, if you're going to put it that way?
Pray for it.
What else do you do to protect it? What do you do to protect this city, to protect this house, to protect this church? All right, you stay involved. Don't get into that situation where, well, nobody, it's been done. And it's been said, and I addressed this back years ago when I was a preacher. I used to have people say, they'd say things like, well, I went to church, but nobody said hi to me. And they usually had a particular person. It was an elder or deacon or somebody's wife that didn't say hi. And they'd say, well, they didn't say hi to me. My automatic response was always, did you say hi to them? Well, no, but if they're going to be that way, then I'm going to be. Okay, hang on. You know what that sounds like? That's junior high girl. What's that? That sounds junior high girl stuff, doesn't it? I don't want to be that way. But here's what I also have noticed, and I have heard it here. I've never heard that other here, but I've heard this one here. Well, I was gone 3 weeks and nobody noticed. Really? Really? Then why were you gone? If you were gone and needed something, you let us know. If you're playing a game of hide and seek, I guarantee you these folks ain't going to find you. Do you know why these folks are not going to? And I'm telling you right now, if you're a hide and seek player, if you're one of those people, and I don't see anybody that's like that, If there was, I'd look right at you. I would. I wouldn't be mean and call your name, but I'd look at you. If you're a hider seeker and you go hide for a few, to see if anybody notices, do you know why that will never happen here? Because we're still trying to find ourselves, right? Most of us are still trying to figure out, what day is it? And where am I supposed to go to church? I heard another one. You think about it, too busy. I had somebody get on me the other day, pretty rough get on, about that I hadn't done something or other, and I won't tell you what, because I won't tell you who, but they were really reaming me out for not doing something. And I said, and then after me, he took on some of y'all, and I said, do you know anybody at our place that doesn't work a full-time job or doesn't work two full-time jobs? We don't have, guys. We don't have 72 ministers on the payroll. We got, how many we got here? We got 40 people here today. We got 40 ministers. But you're taking care of your living, you're taking care of your kids, you're taking care of a dog that got left at your house by your son. You're taking care of stuff and what you got to do is, you got to manage, we manage to help other people, but sometimes we don't get to it. So what you do is, you do the best you can to protect what you have. So don't be a hider seeker. We need you here. We need you here. There is a reason you're here. There's somebody here you can help. So don't hide. Come on. How do we protect this place? One more. You watch your Bible. You pay attention to your Bible. And if somebody's standing up here talking, you make sure they're going by that Bible. You make sure they're teaching the truth. You want to protect. Physically, you want to protect? Yes. But spiritually is even more important. You want to make sure that what is being taught is going to keep the city of God, the church of God, strong. All right. What else do you learn from those three verses? The wall was completed. The city was at a place where Nehemiah could step back and say, look what God did. And because he saw that, what did he do? Everybody had something they were in charge of. All right? You know what that means? We've got something to be in charge of. Now, where do we start? Where do we start with that? I'm in charge of me. You're in charge of you. I am not in charge of you. You are not in charge of me. Now, we're going to help each other out. We're going to love each other. We're going to try to take care of you, betcha. But I'm in charge of me. You're in charge of you. And then as things develop, we got to change, we got to make some adjustments, don't we? If you're taking care of, guys, if you're taking care of supper on Wednesday, you take care of supper on Wednesday. Now, you may need some help, and if you need help, you holler. You may be taking care of the money and making sure that all the bills get paid. You may be taking care of filling the water bottles. I don't know what you're in charge of, and if anybody wants that job, it's yours. I'll give it to you, man. Y'all should have seen me yesterday. I tried to carry two water bottles in at a time. How much sense does that make? You get to the door, you can't open the door. No, you can't put it down because I can't pick it back up if I put it down. I won't tell you how we handled that, but the point is, you want that job, you got it. You take responsibility for something. I love Aaron. I love Aaron Bell. I've said it publicly. I've said it to him privately. And we're not going people yet, but we're going to. But I'm going to start with Aaron. I tell you, I can remember in the boom boom, Aaron sitting, he was sitting right about there. And he said in one of our discussions, and there was a reason he was saying, Aaron didn't know enough about church to know what he was saying, but he was getting nudged to say some things. And Aaron said, well, I think we need a visitation program. Are you kidding? Really? We need a visitation program? We don't even know who the members are, much less who the visitors are. But I looked at him, and I wasn't being mean. I just said, Aaron, talk to me, explain to me why I visited her. And he pointed to Sherry and he said, well, I don't know her. Well, we handled that. I said, Aaron, that's Sherry. Sherry, that's Aaron. And now, and I announced to the whole church, Aaron is in charge of the visitation program. He has not made another suggestion since, right? No, but I tell you what has happened. Aaron illustrates it maybe better than anybody I know. There's not anybody that walks into this place that Aaron doesn't meet. I'm telling you, Aaron took that responsibility serious. And what it's done, it's been infectious for some of us. Now some of us still get the, I'm sitting in my chair and protecting my pride. Okay, fine, you got your territory, it's okay. But Aaron is a good example of somebody who says, I'll take this responsibility. And when somebody walks in that door, he makes sure he knows them. Owen does a great job of that too. Owen doesn't let anybody come in here that he doesn't visit with. All right, what else do I learn from these three verses? I'm going to give you one more shot and then I'm going to finish this off. Because I want you to see it. I grew up going to church where the preacher was the source of all wisdom and knowledge. Well, you ain't got that luxury here, guys, all right? So what we've got to do is we've got to learn to let God teach us from His Word. So let God teach you. We protect what we built. We protect what God has done. Number two, we find our place and we take care of our responsibilities. What else? Sometimes you have to have somebody let somebody know. And is that the truth? That's the truth. I've said it before. Sometimes if you're doing, well, I use this illustration with Linda and Lacey a lot. People are not, especially folks that are coming out of pain, they are not going to volunteer. What they may need to do is be asked. When they get to a place when they've had a chance to rest, to heal, to grow, when they've had some time there, that's when you say, hey, would you like to learn how to teach a Bible class? Would you like to watch the babies? Would you like to help be a bouncer for the kids' classes? And that's the truth. That's the right word, y'all. You need a bouncer sometime. But what you got to do is ask. Now, it's not, I've told you before, I've never thought the church announcements were effective. You ever been in big church where they announced, we need a teacher for the third grade class? That announcement will be made for the next 6 years. I've been there, known it. Because nobody is going to, what you got to do is you got to punch somebody and say, hey, can you help with that? You got to ask somebody. Here's what I want you to notice. Because it matches what we know to be true. Now, those of you who are visiting, those of you who haven't been here a while, well, if you've been here less than a year is the only reason you wouldn't know this. He picks this man to be the commander of the citadel because he is a man of integrity and feared God more than most men do. Do you know what that matches? And I'm going to let you think a second. What does that match, you guys? Men only. What do you think that matches? What does that sound like to you? That sounds like what we've read in a book called, a book that I'm going to give you some hints and then I'm going to let you know, but it's a book that was written to teach a young preacher how to build a church, how to set things in order, how to complete what was lacking. Titus. The book of Titus, that little bitty letter, was written by a master builder of the church, Paul, to a young man who was in a difficult place, and he said, you've got some work to complete. Now, every church has some work to complete, but he said, you've got to finish the things that are lacking. You've got to finish the job. You've got to complete the task. And he said, here's how you do it. And you know the first thing on his list? The very first thing on his list? Is find men and build men to do the work that God called them to do. Right here, that's what Nehemiah is doing. Now, does that exclude women? You wish. It doesn't exclude women, but it puts a responsibility where it belongs. That men are to take responsibility and they are to be men. Do you remember what he says about them? Anybody remember what it says about those men that will one day be called elders? One of those day, those men that will one day be called shepherds. What does it say about them? What kind of men are they to be? What kind of men am I supposed to be working on them to be, or we're supposed to work, be working on each other to be? They've got to be men of character. They've got to be men of integrity. All those things that we've read before, those of us growing up in church, all those things we listed about elders, the first batch of them fit under the idea of being blameless. It's talking about character. Even the statements about the husband of one wife and children that are not riotous or unruly, that's all about his character. What kind of example he sets. We want to complete the job God sent us to do. Then let's find men like that. And let's become men like that. And let's teach men to become like that. To be men of integrity, to fear God. For the rest of this chapter, he's going to name names. We'll do that when we tie the knot. He completed the wall. My, I'm pleased for him. I like it when something's finished. I love the statements marked in my Bible when Jesus says right before the cross, I've completed the work that you've given me to do. And one of his last statements, it is finished. Guys, we don't get that pleasure here. We get the joy, the grief, the laughter, the tears of building until Jesus finally says it's finished. When he says it's completed, we'll all celebrate together on that day. But until that time, let's pray, enlist, set a time, examine what needs to be done, build a crew, go to work, and ignore anybody that distracts us so that we are completing the work that God gave us to do. And now just as a reminder, 9 years worth of work. 9 years worth of work. Let's protect it. Let's each find our place on the wall and do the work. Make responsibility. Take responsibility for this place. This is not my church. It's not your church. It's our church. And then number three, let's be men of character. Let's find men of character. Let's build men of character. All right.